Okay, we left off last week. We were discussing the Machlekes HaRishonim about whether Yesh Tzevei Ba'ochlin or Ain Tzevei Ba'ochlin. According to some Rishonim, the entire Malacha of Tzeveya doesn't apply to food items, and according to other Rishonim, there is no such principle. So we said that there's a big problem because the Gemara sounds like, in fact, there is a problem of Tzeveya by Ochlin. The Gemara discussed the possibility of a person shechting an animal, and not only are they in violation of the Malacha of Shochet, but they're in the violation of the Malacha of Tzeveya as well, because by shechting the animal, they are dyeing, they're coloring the animal's neck area, and it's a type of Tzeveya that the person actually wants, because he wants it to look like it's fresh meat. He wants the buyers to think that he just shechted the meat recently, so he wants it to look good and bright red. So the Gemara says that would be a potential additional Malacha to the Isser of Shochet. So here we're talking about meat, we're talking about edible food, and Afa Pichain, the Gemara applies the principle of Tzeveya, so it sounds like it's an open and shut case that Tzeveya should apply to food substances. So we mentioned last week that there were two approaches in the Acharonim how to deflect this Raya. The Mishnah Berurah said that if you look in some Rishonim, so they understood that the Isser involved was not because of Tzeveya on the meat of the animal, rather Tzeveya on the animal's skin. And as such, the animal's skin is not Roy Lachila, therefore it's subject to Tzeveya. And then we mentioned also last week that the Chacham Tzvi suggested that maybe even though the Tzeveya is happening to the skin, to the meat, maybe the meat is not really edible because the meat is so bloody, it's going to be so impossible to clean it off in the blood properly. You're never going to really eat it, since you're never really going to eat it. So therefore, Pialocha, it's not considered to be Ochlin. So again, for a variety of reasons, the Gedolei Acharonim Madocha, that particular case may not be speaking about Ochlin. But now we begin with a third approach to this problem, a third answer in Acharonim to this problem. This really sets the stage for something that we're going to talk a lot about a little bit later on, probably in today's year already. And that's the suggestion that's given by the Chayyadim. The answer to the Chayyadim is something that's going to impact significantly on not just Malachas Tzeveya, but it's going to open up a whole world for us in terms of Hilchos Shabbos in general. So the Chayyadim suggests that maybe the answer to the question is as follows, that why is it conceptually that there shouldn't be any Tzeveya Ochlin? What's the reason? What's the rationale for that? There's no Tzeveya Ochlin. So the Chayyadim says it's not some grandiose Gzeres HaKosov, it's not some limud from Mishkan, it's really very, very simple, says the Chayyadim. It's based on a general principle of Malacha Shel Kayama. The only time that a person is Chayav for anything on Shabbos is only when he does something that's going to last for a significant amount of time. Now that's a very, very loaded statement, significant amount of time. We have a lot of work to do to define properly what is significant, what's not significant. But says the Chayyadim that the Malach of Shabbos only applies if the Malach is going to last for a significant amount of time. And on food, almost by definition, it's not going to last very long because you're planning eating the food in a few minutes. Why are you being tzivei the food? Why are you coloring the food? So you're coloring the food because you're going to eat it in 20 minutes from now. So that's going to fall short in terms of being the Malach. So according to Chayyadim Shul Torah, it's not pshat that ain't tzivei b'oichlin. It's not that oichlin is the beirim. It's not that oichlin is the engine that's driving this p'tur. Ochlin is just indicative of the fact that it's most probably not going to be for a long period of time. But what if it is for a long period of time? What if it's technically Ochlin, but it will be for a long period of time? So then the story is open. So then there would be a Malacha D'Oraisa. Says the Chayyadim, the butcher who's shechting the meat, and he wants the meat to get colored with the red blood to look, that should look fresh, he's not getting the meat in 10 minutes from now. He's going to put it in a store, and people are going to come today, tomorrow, the next day, whenever they're going to come. He wants people to see it for a couple of days, so that will already meet the criteria of being Shel Kayama. So according to Chayyadim, according to his understanding, there is no ironclad, absolute rule called Ein Tzeveya B'Ochlin. All the Gemara means is that if and when it's Shel Kayama, you will be Chayiv. Even when it's not Kayama, then you will not be Chayav. So we have to go case by case and see. Is this a kind of a food that's going to be eaten in the next 10 minutes? Then there's no Malacha D'Oraisa. If it's not going to be eaten for the next 10 minutes, then there wouldn't be Malacha D'Oraisa. That's the Chayyadim's word. So the Chayyadim's answer is, of course, assuming something very, very critical. And this is going to become a major, major part of our discussion as we go on. Is this really true? That Kayama plays such a major role in the Malacha of Tzeveya? Where does it say in the Gemara that you only chaya for tzeveya if it's shel kayama? Is that even a true statement? Chayyim is assuming that way. So the truth is hopefully we will see it a little while from now, that's actually a big machlekes Rishonim, machlekes in the Rambam and the Smag. The Rambam's opinion is that if a person does tzeveya and it's not shel kayama, he in fact is not chaya. It is not a malacha deraisa. And the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvah's Godel, one of the Balei Atos, just disagrees. The Moshe Mikutzi, the one who wrote the Sefer Mitzvah's Godel, one of the Balei Atos, who said it's not true. There is no such klal. What is the Machlokes, the Rambam, the Smag based on? So it's based on the following, that the Mishnah says explicitly in Shabbos that for the Malach of Kosev to be Chayav, it has to be Shel Kayama. You have to write with something that's going to last permanently. Let's say a person writes with a kind of an ink that's going to disappear after a few hours. Let's say the Ramah quotes, person writes like with fruit juice or something on his plate. You know, the person has a gravy on his plate and he wants to make a tic-tac-toe, little X's and O's on with the gravy of his on his plate. The only reason why I gave that example is that don't tell anybody, that's what we used to do when we were kids. When my mother wasn't looking, so we would have tic-tac-toe board games with some of the gravy on the bottom of the chicken gravy on the bottom of the plate on Shabbos. So we didn't know at the time that the Ramah says you shouldn't do that. So the Ramah says that's only an issa midrabanan, because the Mishnah says that in order to be chayav in a Torah, it has to be something shel kayama. It has to be a ksav shel kayama. So the Leviza be the Malach of Kaysev, that's a given, that's for sure, that's a Mishnah. So the Rambam says, this is not a din prati by Kaysev, this is not a din unique to Kaysev, this is indicative of all Malachas, that any Malach that doesn't have that dimension of Kayama to it, will not be Chayev. And the Smag understood, no, this is the din prati by Kayama, that the very word Kaysev has the connotation to last forever. That's the Dech Kaysev, for something to last forever. But if it's other malachas, there is no such klal. So it's the malach of tzeveya. So the smagel that would not be subject to the p'tur of erev shabbos. We'll see hopefully the Mitzvah as the sugya develops a little more. This machlekes the Rambam, the Smag is going to greatly impact on makeup on Shabbos. The whole shayla of makeup on Shabbos, their ices, their amanah, are there any grounds that it should even be mutter? So this is going to revolve around this question about what is the status of erev shabbos vis-a-vis other malachas such as tzeveya. We're getting back to our story in terms of Oakland. So we have a third approach in the Gedolei Acharonim to explain why some Rishonim could hold that there's no tzeveya in Ochlin, and they're still not subject to refutation from that sugi about Sheikh B'Shabbos, because the Chayyadim says that case by each case has to be judged on its own merits. If it's Shel Kayama, it's a problem. If it's not Shel Kayama, then it would be okay. And again, most food kind of things is not going to be Shel Kayama. So Tachlis, bottom line, with all the lumdus of last week and this week, how do we paskin? Bottom line is, how do we paskin? Is the Malachas Tzeveya on Ochlin or not? So there is a Ramah, where the Ramah quotes a Machlekes that he had with one of the Gedolim in his previous generation, a Rabbeinu Avraham. I don't know who this particular Rabbi Avraham was, but there are more quotes in the Dake Moshe, a Machlekes that he had about the following Shaila, about if a person has white wine and they want to put a little bit of red wine into it to change the color, to make it a little redder, is that permissible on Shabbos or not? Why would a person be doing that? A person could be doing that for one of two reasons. Either he's doing it because he just likes the taste of the red wine, so he's not particularly interested in the color, but he wants the taste of the red wine. Or the person may be doing it because he actually wants to color the wine red. The Ramah doesn't specify what case he's referring to. The simple reading of the Ramah is that he's talking about both scenarios. We'll see in a moment, is there any difference between the two? Why would a person want dafka red wine? What possible crazy reason could the person want red wine? So it could be that he wants it for halachic reasons. There is a Ramban that has a famous shita based on his reading of the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra, is that in halacha, so there are certain limitations as to what wine can be used for Kiddush. The Gemara has a whole sugya in the sixth Bech of Baba Basra. Why in the world is it in Baba Basra for? This is not a Baba Basra sugya, because the sugya of Baba Basra is talking about when you sell wine to somebody. So what's considered to be a mekach tos? If I sell you wine, it turns out it was vinegar, it turns out the wine didn't taste good, didn't smell good, it was spoiled. So at what point can you say that that's a mekach tos, that you can retract and renege on the whole deal? So in the middle of that sugi, the Gemara has a whole digression about all the details of the halachas of wine as relate to Kiddush. So the whole sugi of Kiddush wine appears tucked away in the middle of Maseches Baba Basra, in the middle of Dinei Mamonos. So the Gemara has a few klolim about wine. Let's say, Lamashal, the Gemara says that in order for wine to be kosher for Kiddush, it has to be Oila Gabi HaMizbech. It has to be the kind of a wine that would be able to be poured in the Mizbech. If you wanted to pour it as a korban, there are certain kabbanas that have to be accompanied by wine, nisachim, by libations, wine libations. So there are certain halachas that govern the kind of wine that can be put in the mizbech. So the Gemara has a statement in Baba Basra, Kol yayin she'ein roi l'nasach al-gami ha-mizbech in mekachin alav. Any wine that's not fit to be put in the mizbech, you can't use for kiddush. So there was a big machlekes that we showed him what that means. So the Rambam had a very, very big chumra. The Rambam says, any wine that's possible for whatever reason, shape, or form, it doesn't matter what the reason is, if bottom line it can't go on the mizbech, then you can't serve it for kiddush Friday night. According to the Rambam, yayin mevushal cannot be used for the mizbech, so therefore you cannot use it for kiddush. According to the Rambam, wine that has any sugar or flavor or anything in it cannot be brought on the mizbech. We just read it in yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah. You're not allowed to offer a fruit honey on the mizbech. Fruit honey doesn't just mean honey, it means any fruit derivative like sugar or any other flavoring would not be acceptable to be brought in the mizbech. So according to the Rambam, all sugared wine, all flavored wine, anything whatsoever would be outright disqualified for kiddush. So according to the Rambam, 90% of our wines out there are no good. They have sugar, they have flavoring, etc. So other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Some Rishonim say that when the Gemara disqualifies wine which can't be served in the Mizbeach, can't be used for Kiddush, all that means is wine that's spoiled, wine that's bad, wine that something's wrong with. If it's so wrong that it can't be used in the Mizbeach, then you shouldn't use it for Kiddush. But if the reason why it can't be in the Mizbeach is for some technical quirks, because it has sugar in it, because it's mavushal, those are things that are not per se ruining the wine. Those are technical halachic concerns vis-a-vis Beis HaMikdash. So why should that disqualify it for a Kiddush? That's what Abminig is. That's what we use Yayin Mevushal, we use flavored wines, we use all these things for Kiddush. So some posts can say, L'chad Chilev, you have two wines in front of you, one that's kosher according to the Rambam, one that's not. So if all else is equal, you should use the one that's kosher even according to the Rambam. That's why some people like to use non-Mevushal wine for Kiddush. You know, they like to use non-Mevushal wine for Dalakosos for that reason. I'm personally not such a big fan of that Shita, unless you know for certain that you have no goyim in the house. Many of us have non-Jews in the house. And if you have non-Jews in the house and you're using non-Mevushal wine, so you're asking for trouble. So, but again, in the perfect world, according to the Rambam, you shouldn't be using non-Mevushal, you shouldn't be using Mevushal wine, not just for Dalakosos, for Kiddush as well. You shouldn't be using flavored wines for anything whatsoever. But getting back to that story, so in the middle of that sugya, the Ramban learns that if it's white wine, it's also not acceptable for Kiddush. So we don't really paskin like that, Ramban. We paskin mikra din that if you have white wine, it's okay. Some poskim say, lechatchila, if you have red wine versus white wine, it's better to use the red wine in deference to the view of the Ramban, unless the white wine really tastes better. If you like the white wine better, then you're allowed to use the white wine even lechatchila. But otherwise, it would be better to use red wine, at least for Kiddush on Friday night. Kiddush and Shabbos day, Rabbi Kivega writes, you can make it even lechatchila using white wine. But some people have a practice that they don't use white wine lechatchila for Kiddush on Friday night. Again, unless the white wine is something that you prefer more. There are some posts who say the whole thing doesn't apply Bisman Azeh, that only the Ramban only applied when the white wine apparently was a cheaper quality wine. Bisman Azeh, many of the white wines are much, much more expensive, much, much higher quality than some of the red wines. So some posts can question whether even this whole Peit L'Chadchil even applies. But in theory, there is a discussion in the Rishon and Shulchan Aruch about using white wine for Kiddush on Friday night. So in that background, some wanted to say that if you just throw a little bit of red wine in, so now it turns the color. Sure, now it's a hocus pocus. Now it's a red wine. So that's what the Rambam is discussing. So the Rambam and the early Acharonim are discussing: is there anything wrong with that on Friday night? I have my cup of my Moscato, my cup of white wine, and I want to throw a little grape juice in. I want to throw a little bit of a Malaga wine, a little bit of a cheapy wine in, to make it just have the reddish tint to it, reddish color to it, because I want to be into the Ramban Shita. So is that a good idea or is that a bad idea? So the Rabbah quotes one of the Acharonim who said that's a terrible idea, because just to be Yotzei that Chumri, ending up violating Shabbos, the Chilul Shabbos, because you're being Tzevei, you're coloring the wine. So the Rabbah disagreed. The Rabbah said that we don't follow that, because the Rabbah paskins that ain't Tzevei ba'Eichlin. The simple reading of the Rabbah is that no matter why you're doing it, whether you're doing it to color the wine because you want it to, you like the taste of the red in it, or whether you're doing it because you want the color of the red in it, it doesn't matter what your intent is, even that's going to be more. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Prima Gadim, that the simple meaning of the halacha is that if you accept Ein Seveh Ba'ichlin, then it doesn't matter whether you're intending to do it or not intending to do it. There was some Achronim will have a split, some Achronim on the right will have a suggestion that if your intent is mamish to color it, that's the problem. If you're not really intending to color it, you're just kind of incidentally coloring, then it would be okay. But again, the simple reading of the Rambam is not that way, and the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah is not that way either. That when we say Ein Seveh Ba'Eichlin, so we accept this Rambam, we don't paskin like the earlier Acharei, we paskin like the Rambam, that the Ikra Din is, like we said last week from the Shibat Eleket, and Ein Seveh Ba'Eichlin, that's the Ikra Din, And the kasher in the Gemara about sheichet has been resolved in multiple ways. And we pass it halacha l'maaseh that there really is no problem of tzeveya as long as it's labeled halachli as ochlin, even if you're intending to color it. So l'chari that should be okay. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes in one place, the Daf HaPoshet, that we accept the view ein tzeveya b'ochlin. We even accept the lenient version of that view, even if it's being done l'shem tzeveya, even if your goal is to color the wine afal b'chein, we still pass it that is mutter. Notwithstanding what seems to be the accepted psak that ain tzeveya b'ochlin, there is a Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yirches that throws almost a curveball, throws a monkey wrench into this discussion. There's one place, I mentioned passing, an afterthought in a Sharat Zion, the little notes in the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, where the Chofetz Chaim throws, almost brings back to life this chumrah of yesh tzeveya b'ochlin. In Mishnah Berurah itself, so the Mishnah Berurah just machzor nevek keeps on ignoring it, so we pass like the Ramah, we follow the Echronim, we're Mekel, and we're not that worried about tzeveya b'ochlin. And then all of a sudden, one place the Mishnah Berurah brings it back to life in the following context. This is a throwback to something that we spoke so much about earlier in the year. Let's just retrack for a minute about Bishul. So remember way back when we spoke about Malachas Bishul, we mentioned that the making of tea on Shabbos could become a very, very serious problem in halacha. If a person takes a tea bag, so a tea bag is made up of uncooked tea leaves, if you take a tea bag and put it into a pot of water, so that's a malacha d'araisa, you're mamish cooking in a klirishon. If you take water from a tea kettle, water from an urn, and you pour it onto a tea bag, that's a very, very serious problem also. That may also be a malacha d'araisa. That's what's called iroi klirishon. If you take water from a klirishon, it means a klirishon is a pot that's either on the pot, is on the fire, and you begin to empty its contents onto something, that's called an iroi klirishon. And iroi klirishon is a disaster. It's a machlekes rishonim, and we pass in halacha that it is mevashal. Maybe mevashal, quite possibly it's mevashal b'daraisa. So to pour from a tea kettle directly onto a tea bag is absolutely out of the question. Even to pour from a tea kettle, from an urn into a cup, and then to put the tea bag in is a big, big machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah held that was a serious shaila. Reb Chaim held that was mutter. Again, we spoke about that a lot. From the Bishul, that's also a very, very potentially loaded question. So to avoid a lot of these shailas of making tea, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier Echaronim, the Eitzah that's been around for hundreds of years, and that's the idea of making sense. It means making a tea essence from before Shabbos. So you basically take some tea bags, take tea leaves, and you cook them up beforehand. Before Shabbos starts, you make yourself a big, highly concentrated cup of tea, take a couple of tea bags, and mix it with boiling water, make a very, very thick, and a very, very, very high concentrated of tea scent, of tea flavoring. And then during the course of Shabbos, when you want to make yourself a cup of tea, so you take a little bit of that sense and you mix it with hot water. And sure, so that idea is based on Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, that once the tea bags were cooked already, so then mixing them again with hot water, mixing the juice, mixing the concentrate again, would not be subject to a subsequent Bishul problem. The only problem is, going back to the Bishul sugyas for a moment, because it's going to impact on us, that issue of just making tea scents from before Shabbos and then cooling it a day is not so poshut, because once the scents cools down, so then we're running into a potential problem of yesh bishul acha bishul, but the balach shen itstanen. If you remember back to bishul sugyas, we said that if you have a liquid that was once cooked, so you have a pot of soup, you have a pot of water that was once cooked, even though it was a readiness bashel, but if you're going to be, if it's going to cool down and you want to cook it up again, that may be a problem. That ein bishul acha bishul may only be true for solids, is not necessarily true for liquids. That was a big, big question, is that true or not? But we try to be machmir in that, that there are more paskins that if it's nitzan and legamrei, if it's totally cooled down, then it's a problem. So the only thing is that even though it's a problem, but it would be permissible to quote unquote recook a cold liquid that is cooled down in a klisheni. Since all of cooking in a klisheni is a big machloek, is a big shiloh altogether, whether you're not allowed to cook in a klisheni. So the Mishnah Berurah is makel that you're not obligated to combine these two chumras together. Let's say halacha lemaisa, if I have a liquid that was already cooked, even though it's mamish cold, I want to put it back into a klisheni, that's perfectly okay. So let's say, give you an example, I want to take milk right out of the fridge. So that milk was pasteurized a week ago in the factory. So it was nisbashel, legamrei. Now it's totally cold. It's in the fridge. And now I want to reheat that milk in a cup of a klisheni coffee. So the Mishnah Berurah is makel in that. To put it into a klirishon, we wouldn't do. To pour from a klirishon onto milk, we wouldn't do. But to put the milk into a klisheni, that would be okay. Because Mishnah Berurah says we're not obligated to combine these two chumras. We're not obligated to combine the chumra of not cooking in a kli sheni together with the chumra of not cooking liquids that were cold and now being recooked. Those two chumras, each one is true by itself, but you're not obligated to combine them together. So comes the Mishnah Berurah with the following idea. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, when you have tea scents, so if the scents has cooled down, many people make their tea scents on Friday afternoon, then they put it into a container, they put it into a cup or something, and they put it on the counter, leave it on the table. And now Shabbos morning, they want to make themselves a cup of tea, so they want to take the cold tea scents and mix it with boiling water. So Mishnah Berurah says, wait a second, not so simple. You can't take that tea scents and put it into a pot of water. That's a big problem. That's yesh bishlach habishim b'davalachshin and stanin. You cannot even pour it from a tea kettle, pour from an urn onto that scents, because that's Iri Kli Rishon, and we treat Iri Kli Rishon as like a Kli Rishon, so that would be a problem of Bishul. So to pour boiling water directly from a Kli Rishon, from an urn, from a tea kettle, onto a cold cup of scents, that would also be a problem. So you have no choice, says the Mishnah, but what you have to do is that you have to take some of that boiling water, pour it into a cup first, so you create a Kli Sheni. Once you create a Kli Sheni, then you could throw the scents in and show it and have yourself a hot cup of tea. So the Mishnah Berurah is very makbid in that. You have to be very, very careful. If you have cold tea scents, so then pour the boiling water into the cup first, and then after it's in the cup, then and only then do you put the scents in. That's the Mishnah Berurah's achra. So again, because he's so worried about Yesh Bishlach HaBishl, but the Malach Netzdanen, he insists on making sure it's a klisheni before you begin to mix in the scents. So then comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, wait a second, by doing so, you're going to be in violation of Tzeveya, because you're coloring the water. It means I have a cup of water, and I'm putting in some brown stuff into it. So I used to have a clear water, now I have brown water. So Shailav Tzeveya. So says the Mishnah Berurah, don't worry about it. Ain't Tzeveya Be'Oichlin. Because after all, we paskin, there's no real Tzeveya in Oichlin. So don't worry about it, Mishnah Berurah says. It's okay, nothing to worry about. But then the Mishnah Berurah turns and makes it about face. And he says, what if your tea sense is hot? What if you left it hot from before Shabbos? You left it on the fire. You left it in a place where it's warm now. So the tea sense is still hot. So once it's still hot, even if not boiling hot, as long as it's still basically warmish, so then the Ramah says there's no Bishlach HaBishul problem. Then there's no issue of Bishul whatsoever. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, then it would make more sense to catch this one, he says. It would make more sense, rather than putting the hot water into a Kli Sheni and putting the essence in, it would make more sense to pour the boiling water directly onto the essence. Why is that? Because that will avoid a Tzeveya Shaila. The Mishnah Berurah seemed to assume that it's only called Tzeveya possibly if I'm putting a coloring into a clear thing. If I'm pouring hot water onto a coloring, that's bechlal not considered to be Tzeveya. I'm not sure why. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have a hot essence, the hot tea sense, and you therefore have the ability to pour boiling water onto it rather than putting it into the cup of water, it's better to do that. Why is it better to do that? Because then you avoid Tzeveya Shailas, which is a really big pellet, because the Mishnah Berurah himself told you that he doesn't really care about Tzeveya. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't even think this Tzeveya. He was machriya later on that ain't Tzeveya Be'Oichlin, but here somehow in the back of his mind, the Mishnah Berurah is still worried about Tzeveya a little bit maybe, and if you can avoid it, you should avoid it. So the Mishnah Berurah has this quirk of a chumra, that if and when you're using hot essence, most people don't even use hot essence, our essence is just sitting on the counter, but those people who keep the essence on the blech, they keep it on the fire, so the essence is hot. So therefore, we're not worried about Bishul. So if we're not worried about Bishul, we can worry about Tzeveya. And therefore, he recommends to pour the hot water onto the essence rather than vice versa. I'm very, very weird to tell people this because this is very confusing. It took me 10 minutes to explain it to here. I think people get confused with this. So I think that the Ika Mikra Adin, that we paskin, there's no Tzeveya Be'Oichlin, and therefore, forget about Tzeveya. Just always make sure you have Kli Sheni. It's better to be worried about the Bishul than about the Tzeveya. But again, if you're interested in the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah has this quirk that if you can avoid Bishul issues, then you should be worried about Tzeveya as well. But putting aside the Shaar Tzion, the Ikra Din is Ein Tzeveya Be'Oichlin, we're not really worried about Tzeveya. And the Mishnah Berurah himself says, even if your Kavana is to color, like you want to mix the red and the white grape juices, Mikra Din we Paskin, that's okay. So now let's move on a little bit in terms of the Malach of Tzeveya and really begin to analyze something that's so critical for us Lamaisa. That's the issue that Rebbe Chayyadim raised, and that's the issue of Eino Shel Kayama. When we speak about Malach of Tzeveya, is there a rule of Eino Shel Kayama or not? And if there is, what are the ramifications of that rule and how does that impact on us Lamaisa? So the whole sugya began with the Rambam. The Rambam writes that if a person is tzeveya in a way that's not miskayemes, that's not going to last, so the Rambam says that is by definition not a malacha d'araisa. It can't be. The Rambam said just as kosev is not a malacha d'araisa if it's not kayama, so to tzeveya. And the Smag disagrees. The Smag says there's no such rule. So the machlokes, the Rambam and the Smag is, do we compare kosev to tzeveya, or do we say each malacha is on its own merits? So the evidence is that the Rambam had another source for his idea that you must have kayama, and that's a statement that the Rambam has in terms of interpreting the Mishnah Maseches Shabbos, the beginning of the 12th parak. The Mishnah has the following statement: Kola osa malacha b'Shabbos u'malachta miskayemes chayev. Anytime a person does malacha on Shabbos and the malacha is miskayemes, the malacha lasts, then you're chayev. So the Rambam says this is an open and shut case. This is an open and shut statement. It's a statement explicitly that malacha has to be miskayemes. This Mishnah is not even talking about kosev. This Mishnah is talking in general terms. Kola oisa malacha, malacha miskayemes b'Shabbos chayev. That the only time you chayev in Shabbos is if you do malacha shel kayam, it must last. So how would the Smag respond to this? So the answer is if you look at Rashi on the spot, the beginning of the 12th parak is a different shot in the Mishnah. That Mishnah, by the way, happens to be talking about the Malacha Machba Patish. The context of that Mishnah is, if you fix something on Shabbos, say I have a table that's missing a leg, and I screw in the last leg, that's called Machba Patish. Patish is not Machba Patish, nothing to do with hammers, nothing to do with hitting with hammers. You can violate Machba Patish with a screwdriver, you can violate Machba Patish with your hands. Whenever you do Tikkun on Kli, Gemar Malacha on the Kli, that is Malacha's Machba Patish. So Rashi says that this Mishnah is talking about Machba Patish, namely, that anytime you finish something and now the Kli is ready to go, it's Miskayemis, now it's complete and there's nothing else to do. Miskayemis here doesn't mean Miskayemis to mean that it's going to last for a long time. Miskayemis means that you finished the job. So the Mishnah is talking not about Klolim and Shabbos in general, that in order to be Chayef from Malacha X, Y, and Z, it has to be last forever. The Mishnah is talking about the details of Malacha's Machba Patish and saying that you're not in violation of Machba Patish unless it's something that really finished the job. If you have more to go, then it's not Machba Patish. So according to the Smag, there's no source in Chazal, no source in Shas to insist on Malacha's being permanent. The Kosev is unique. Machba Patish is not talking about this. There is no klal across the board. And the Rambam says, no, in order to be chayav in Shabbos, it has to be kayama, end of discussion. How kayama does it have to be in order to be chayav? So the Rambam says, it has to be able to last till the end of Shabbos. We'll see, hopefully, later on, we talk about kosev. Others may have a slightly different shia, but the Rambam says that the malacha must last till the end of Shabbos. If the malacha can't make it to the end of Shabbos, then you're not going to be chayav. So where does the machlekes, the Rambam, and the Smag really come to a head? It comes to a head concerning makeup on Shabbos. It's the famous Maimon Chazal, the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, Isha lo savar srak al paneh b'Shabbos. A woman should not put on makeup on Shabbos. Feirush Gemara, you're not allowed to put on makeup, she can't put on face mascara, she can't put on rouge, anything, whatever she puts on to color her face, anywhere in her face, cannot do it. Isha lo savar srak al paneh b'Shabbos. Feirush Gemara. So the Rambam writes that would only be in Derabbanan. Why is it only in Derabbanan? So the Chayyadim explains, it's not going to last very long. A woman puts on makeup, it's going to come off after a little while. So therefore, it cannot possibly be an Issa D'araisa. And the Smag says, Isha L'Sav Esrach HaPanah B'Shabbos, and if she does so, it's a Chiyuv Gomer, it's a Chiyuv D'araisa. Putting on makeup would be an Issa D'araisa, according to the Smag, because the Smag doesn't buy into the school of Enesha Koyama. Even a Niach that we pass like the Rambam, it's very possible that we do follow the Shittus of Rambam. Ava Pichein, it's still Hasar. The Gemara says Beferish, Isha lo savar srak al paneh. The Gemara says black and white, she's not allowed to do it. So according to the Ram, it's not a derais, it's only a derabban. So it doesn't make matters much better for us. It's still going to be us, sir. So if the Rambam is accepted that it's only a derabbanon, could we open up the following suggestion? Could we argue that since we're only dealing with a derabbanon, maybe there's a case where Chazal lifted that prohibition. In what case did they lift the prohibition? So there are other malachas where we talk about the notion of kayama and eino kayama, and eino kayama klal. We'll talk about this a little bit down the line in a few weeks. The malach of kosher, one of the lamentas malachas is to tie a knot. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, there are some knots that are chayav, if they're very, very permanent. There are some knots that are awesome and they're abundant because they're quasi-permanent. And there are some knots that are mutal legamre, 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 because they're so completely temporary, they're not even asa midirabonim. So that model of deraisa, dirabonim, mutal legamre, depending on the degree of permanence, exists for us. We have precedent for that, vis-a-vis other malachas, kosher, maybe tofer, etc. For kosher, for sure. So the question is, can we borrow that model and plug that into malachas tzeveya? Could we say that if you dye something, you color something, you paint something, and it's going to last forever and ever, that's the deraisif tzeveh. If you put on makeup in a way that's going to last for X amount of time, so that's, it's not forever and ever, on the other hand, it's not going to come off in a minute, so that would be an issa derabanan. And what if you have a kind of a setup where you put it on for a very, very short amount of time, it's mamish going to come off almost immediately. So could one argue that that third category exists by tzeveh also? Again, we're really searching in the dark. We don't have any mocker for any of this. We do have a mocker for that model by kosher. We have some Rishonim who borrowed it over to tofer, to sewing, that kind of a model also. But we don't have anybody in Rishonim to say that explicitly by tzeveh. So that was a big machlekes, the Gedolei Apostle of the last generation. So Moshe Feinstein, in one of his tshuvas, seems to accept that idea, seems to accept that notion that there is this tzeveya deraisa, very permanent, this tzeveya drabonan, quasi-permanent, and then there's eino tzeveya klal, something that colors, but it's so short, falls apart so quickly, it's not even a drabonan. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, l'shamana dovezem yoylam. We never heard of such a thing. He says, ein lanu l'chadesh me'atzmenu, this third category, just because Chazal had it by other malachas, not all malachas work with the same criterion. And therefore, if the Gemara says that Sevi'a She'eno Shokoyama is at least also b'drabanan, so be it, there's never going to be any heter whatsoever. So if you go down Rav Moshe's route, and it's a very, very short tshuva, almost like a 3-4 line tshuva of Rav Moshe, very unclear exactly what Rav Moshe said, but this idea Rav Moshe seems to subscribe to, that if it's Eino Shokoyama klal klal it's mutter, this could potentially open up the possibility for certain kinds of makeups being permissible. So this was the background of a whole industry. There was a whole Shabbos makeup industry. It's pretty much based on Rav Moshe Shita. It's based on the idea that if we can somehow create a makeup that's very, very temporary, that constantly is going to undo and you have to redo it again, constantly, maybe it'll meet the criteria of Eino Shokoyama Klal. So this is a very, very shaky thing. First of all, we're not even sure. We know for a fact not everyone agrees to Rav Moshe. Shlomo Zalman disagreed. And even according to Rav Moshe, we're not even quite sure where do you draw the line. How much is Eino Shokoyama? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, 5 hours. It's unclear what the shear is according to Rav Moshe. But again, there were some poskim who actually created this industry and supported this kind of an industry, that you can have certain kind of makeups that may be permissible. The Shabbat makeup could be permissible, again, going along the lines of Rav Moshe's criteria. So, Lefini's night, what I tell people is as follows. Those women who feel that they can go the whole Shabbos without putting on makeup, matoiv, so it's better not to put on anything at all, if you can. Those women who really feel, for whatever reason, they must put on some makeup on Shabbos, they should try to get those kinds of makeups that meet those criteria. Whether they need that specific makeup of the Shabbat makeup, or whether other kind, again, I'm really not holding that much in the details of the makeups. I'm just telling you what I've heard from my wife. So there are some oil-based makeups, there's some water-based makeups. If I'm not mistaken, the water-based makeups don't last as long. Again, I'm not really holding the details of this. So my understanding is that those kinds of makeups that really don't last all that long are probably to some degree relying on Rav Moshe's kula. Again, not everyone agrees with Rav Moshe's kula. Those who want to be makeup, I'd say again, those who want to not put on any makeup at all, wonderful. Those who feel they have to put on makeup should really try to put on the absolute minimum kind of that kind that's gonna fall off pretty quickly, and then to some shape or form they're probably relying on Rav Moshe. So this is a major issue. This issue of Eino Shokoyama Klal. One of the interesting rayas that someone would bring that there's a problem of Eino Shokoyama Klal against Rav Moshe was a raya from Kosev. Again, according to the Rambam, the whole kula by tzeveya is all based on Kosev. It's all derived from Kosev. So someone has suggested, Mr. Brook quotes from Acharonim that say that you're not supposed to write on the window. Let's say, you know, sometimes the window gets like misty, like in a cold day. So you shouldn't like play tic-tac-toe. You shouldn't like write on the words, letters, and on the mist, because that's a ksiva shen shechayama that would still be awesome in the rabbanon. So some wanted to argue if Rav Moshe is right that in a shechayama klal is mutter. It's mamish en shechayama. It's totally en shechayama. It's not gonna last for 20 minutes if I make my tic-tac-toe on the misty window. So for the fact that the Prima God and other Achronim say you're not allowed to do that, that seems to be a rye from the earlier poskim against Rav Moshe's kula, that Ener Shechayama would be okay, that could undermine the entire makeup industry. So others wanted to respond, that's not true, that when you write on the misty window, it is a little Shechayama. For some reason, that if you write on the misty window, even though it tends to disappear, but when it remists, you can still see the impression, you can still see a little bit of the back end of what you wrote before. So it could be a little bit more Kayama than the makeup. So again, I'm not holding in the nuances of how Kayama is Kayama not. Bottom line is, Shlomo Zalman didn't buy into the whole story, and he said that all makeup is included in the Issur and the Rabbanon of Lo Ish Lo Saver Sraka Paneh, which is again according to many, like the Rambam, is only the Rabbanon. And Rav Moshe was willing, in some shape or form, to permit it. And again, the parameters of what Rav Moshe did permit, didn't permit, is a little bit vague in the tshuva. So different opinions as to what exactly Rav Moshe did and did not say concerning this. But again, the whole thing is really a chiddush. It's based on the Rambam that we're not dealing with the derais. According to the Smag, it's a derais. There's nothing to negotiate. All makeup would be asur. Within the worldview of the Rambam, maybe you could negotiate a little bit. So Kopanim, so we spoke a little bit about the Malach of Tzeveya, first vis-a-vis food, then vis-a-vis makeup, and one of the common denominators is the notion of Eina Shechayama. That's playing a role in terms of some of the kulas in terms of Tzeveya. There's a whole other dimension of Tzeveya. That's something that we spoke a little bit about last week. We'll hopefully continue a little bit more next week. And that's the issue of, what if I do acts of Tzeveya? I end up coloring things, but I'm not really planning on coloring that. It wasn't like my real intention. I'm not sitting there with a paintbrush and coloring something. The coloring is kind of happening by itself. Either it's happening by itself, or I'm not planning on it happening. I'm subsecratious, or nichleis, or shemiskaveins. I don't even know what's happening. A lot of different kinds of things. So if we mention next week, we'll have to talk about the issue of walking outside with sunglasses, different glasses that turn colors depending on whether the sun or in the shade. The issue that we mentioned last week very quickly in terms of flushing the toilets with the coloring of the water, other kinds of things of putting bandages on by doing so you're going to color the bandage itself, all kind of these quasi kinds of coloring issues with things that are getting colored, but either I'm not thinking about the coloring, I'm not planning on the coloring, I'm not intending on the coloring. Just to what degree are these going to be an issue in terms of Melechet Tzeveya? Hopefully that's from next week, so we'll try to finish up the Melechet Tzeveya. Okay, which have a wonderful... Question. Yeah.
So how did it come out, like, with the drink mixes, or, I know with the SodaStream machine, they tell you to put any of the flavors after you already, like, make it?
Right, so I think Me'ikra didn't really, these things are all mutter. The Mishnah Berurah in one place, Paskins are all mutter. And that one Shart Tzion, he almost kind of backs out from that a little bit and says you should try to avoid it if you can. Those who want it can be conservative on the Mishnah Berurah, so I guess in terms of the soda stream, I guess in a certain sense it would be better to put the coloring into the cup first and then pour the water in. So that would be like the equivalent of, you know...
You're not supposed to do that, I think.
Right, why don't they want you to do that? Well, why not?
Maybe it like explodes if you put the carbonation when it includes the drink mix.
Oh yeah,
that's why.
Oh, okay. Yes, that probably wouldn't be such a good idea. Okay, we don't want you soda stream drinking.
Just a regular like drink mix, like a nice tea mix, let's say.
So I'm saying, so those who want to be choshish for that Mishnah Berurah, they would reverse the order. That means they would pour the water onto the drink mix rather than vice versa. But again, it's that one law in the Mishnah Berurah, which we don't really understand why the Mishnah Berurah made a thing about it, because he himself was pretty makil. He himself was makil to mix the wines together, even though, and it could be the wine is worse, because the other guy really wants to call the wine. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be makil there also, so it's a little bit of a bella why the Mishnah Berurah has that line in the Shaar Tzion to be machmer. So, I don't know.
Nice tea, you don't care what color.
Right, could kill us, right. Again, the Ikra did all these things that mutter. The Ikra din is that ain't Sevei Ba'eichlin. Those who want to be concerned, if they're able to, would flip the order. If they can't flip the order, the Mishnah Berurah was makil, let's say, where if the sense is cold, he was makil to let you make the sense. So you see the Mishnah Berurah is makil when it's impossible to flip the order, even according to his Chumrah, he still let you do it. So I think that would be okay. All right?
Is flipping the order make any, like if you're going to... Let's say you have white wine and you want to put in a little bit of grape juice, so you put in a drop of grape juice and then you pour the white wine in?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm not sure what flipping the order does anything, I'll tell you the truth. That's the Mishabura's idea, that flipping the order somehow is a less mitzvah problem. Truthfully, I don't know why that is. At the end of the day, it's going to be colored, so what's the difference if we went in first? I don't understand that, too. I didn't understand that part of the Mishabura either. Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. Okay, good. All right. Wish everybody a wonderful day. Okay, those who listen to the regular Shiur, my Yushia at 12 o'clock, we'll try to see if we can get my link up and going again, depending on where we're holding. If not, I'm not sure what we'll do, but keep in touch if there's any problem, okay? Good. We'll take care. Bye-bye. Have a good day. Wish you have a wonderful day. Is that coloring? Is that the same kind of thing? You're coloring the cookie. Maybe the same kind of a thing. I don't know.